Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, April the 15th, 114th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Lovelace. How you doing?
Good, good. How are you doing?
Oh, I wish it was Tax Freedom Day today.
Yeah. Well, how do you like the weather today?
Okay. Gonna be one of those shows, huh? It's always it's always pleasant in Humboldt County. Don't give me that noise.
Part of morning fog, late afternoon clearing,
yeah.
Something like that.
Heights in the high 50s to mid 60s.
Yeah,
20%. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about taxation issues, as there seems to be the sense, I guess would be the easiest way, of pending legalization of marijuana. What is it going to be, and how's it going to play out? We've talked a little bit about general plan. Okay, that's still up in the air, so to speak. But the taxation elements of it, as many other things have got sin tax or vice taxes associated with it. Yeah, here's one that by many definitions qualifies. What are they looking at? We'll find out when we come back.
The best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. But before we do our quote this afternoon, are you ready for this one? It comes from H.H. Monroe. But he died in 1916, so it's been a little while ago. Quote, "You can't expect a boy to be vicious till he's been to a good school." Oh my, oh my, oh my. So what are you hearing about the coming up? You're halfway through we're into the fourth quarter of the fiscal year. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing at the state level? Are the numbers that you guys are looking at with the budget that the department heads have been submitting halfway accurate, or are they going to be having to look around a little bit more because of the impact of sales tax either being there or not being there, income tax being there or not being there?
Well, we track these issues. Our CAO's office, along with the tax collector, are tracking these kinds of issues year-round, and then the board gets quarterly updates, first quarter budget review, mid-year budget review, third quarter, to keep us on track. So we're constantly adjusting as we go along, so that we don't have some cumulative error. As if something's happening over the course of the year, things are going differently than projected.
Does that replace the old mid-year budget review?
We still have a mid-year budget review, but we also have first quarter and third quarter. So we keep it moving along. The third quarter tends to be, kind of preparation for the next year's budget, saying here's what's happened, here's what we're seeing in terms of salary savings, which, every year when we are budgeting for staff, we budget as if those positions are filled, straight through the whole year. But anytime a position is vacant for a few months while we're looking at filling a position, or if we refunded a position that maybe had been frozen in the past, and it takes a while to fill that, as we start looking at the implementation of Measure Z with Sheriff Downey's request for his department includes, I believe, 30 positions that have been frozen or left vacant for one reason or another over the years for lack of funding. And so he's requesting the funding for that, but the reality of trying to fill those positions means that it's very unlikely that all of that funding would get utilized in this year, because it takes a long time, especially for law enforcement officers, to be able to fill those positions.
Yeah, all the background and all that kind of stuff that has to happen. With best case knowledge today regarding the overall trends. Is Humboldt County sales tax up, flat? What are you guys seeing in the tarot cards?
Since Measure Z started being assessed, you know, added on to our sales tax as of the start of this month, I don't think we've had any reporting yet to go.
No, but year to date. Was there any kind of a base reference to?
I haven't been made aware of any significant variation from past years that, you know, wow, it's really taken off or it's really, you know, going in the dumper. So I think that, we seem to be
flat.
Flat, not far off of projections. How's that? So.
But they're both sad.
Yeah, it'd be great if all of a sudden it's like, you know, wow, there's tons of money out there, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, and there are some niches that are bumping.
Yeah, historically, Humboldt County, as a broad generality, our isolation, our relative isolation from the rest of the state means that whereas when the rest of the state is being more volatile with its economy, really taking off and then really going down, you know, big peaks and valleys, their economy, ours tends to trail by some period of time, and that cuts its reactions pretty dramatically. So we have more mild peaks and valleys.
Well, I guess that's the thing that really makes it intriguing, that the tourist industry has seen the increases that they've had. Mm-hmm. Because everything else is pretty static, and statewide things are pretty static, but mm-hmm. we're seeing a little bit of movement, at least in that sector, mm-hmm. which is,
well,
and any little bit of movement helps.
Yeah, a couple of things that may play into that that I've heard from other sources that, you know, one, as the economy starts to recover in other places, people do have a little bit more money to travel around. But when they don't have, the recovery hasn't been as dramatic as, you know, we all might want to see it. They don't have as much money for, you know, big expensive trips, and so they're traveling closer to home. So that's been something that I've heard from our Convention and Visitors Bureau over the years, is, you know, the expectation that we'll see people from the Bay Area and, you know, nearby taking trips within driving distance.
When you look at the budget, is the gas tax a significant chunk?
The gas tax, that goes to public works, and that's actually been declining pretty, you know.
Well, sure, because the pump is down, you know, 40% also, you know, from 4.5 to 3.
No, well, the gas tax is a unit tax. It's not.
Right.
Yeah, so it's not. So the
so it's not, it's not connected to the retail price.
Yeah.
It's just gallons.
Yeah, but because of that, the gas tax by number hasn't changed since it was implemented however many years ago. So its purchasing power has dropped dramatically as inflation has gone up. You know, that 18 cents is the same today as it was.
Which is really curious. We got more cars registered. We got lower prices at the pump. You'd think the consumption level of the gallons would go up.
But then we also have more efficient cars, and we have actually
those Prius things.
Well, that's something that it's a significant issue. It really is an issue. And with electric cars too now.
We need more trucks and convertibles on the road.
Well, there's a lot of discussion about how do we accommodate that if we have people that are using our highways, that are putting wear and tear on our pavement and all that, but aren't paying into the highway user tax account through their gas taxes because they're not using gasoline.
They're not using as much.
Or they're using less.
Or like the electric cars.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah. And so that's a significant issue. And so there's a lot of exploration now about how do you apply a different type of tax on maybe a vehicle miles traveled tax. And, you know, there's concerns about how that could be gathered. And, you know, some people immediately jump to the Big Brother idea that, oh, you know, Uncle Sam's going to know exactly where you're going every minute, which, by the way, General Motors already does, Google and anyone else, you know, all these other private companies already do.
As long as your phone is on, they know where you are.
Yeah.
It's 319.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. You really want to talk about Barbie?
Yeah, the new cannabis Barbie.
Yeah. Her camo is a little different than the standard one. In anticipation of legalization, I know a lot of folks are circling the wagons around this and around that and trying to do this and trying to do that. It's really intriguing for me that it isn't something as simple as we've got the tobacco industry, fairly well regulated. We have the alcohol industry, fairly well regulated. Mush those two things together and say, okay, here's a third thing that's got health concerns, it's got public safety concerns, it's got all the elements.
Social concerns.
Corporation mm-hmm. involvement, certainly. All these, and just go, okay, well, we've learned from A, we've learned from B, let's go A plus B and come mm-hmm. up with something, and we're ready. Do you sense that there's an attempt here to reinvent not only the wheel, but the axle and the spokes and the rubber around the outside when it comes to marijuana?
You've really, to me, just nailed the issue. It's something that I've been saying for years, is that there's nothing about regulating this product, this industry, that we don't already know how to do and that we don't already do for lots of similar industries. You know, we, as you said, we know how to regulate alcohol. We know how to regulate tobacco. We know how to regulate environmental impacts on, of land use activities for logging, for mining, for ranching, for whatever. We regulate herbicides, pesticides, water diversions, all of these different things. We know how to do every single thing we need to do with this. The only thing that's prevented us from getting anything done over the years has been the willingness to talk about this as a rational policy issue. And
so now, as it's moving towards an election,
now all of a sudden, everyone in Sacramento wants to talk about it. For years, with people being afraid to even mention the word marijuana,
right?
Which, by the way, we're now supposed to call it cannabis, not marijuana.
Well,
so we're told.
Tidal wave this.
For years, it had been just a subject that the only person in Sacramento that would consistently try to raise the issue was Assemblyman Tom Ammiano from San Francisco. And every year it was kind of like, oh, isn't it cute? Here's Tom with another, marijuana bill, and send him on his way. And now all of a sudden this year, with the prospect of legalization in 2016 by voter initiative, suddenly everyone wants to talk about it. And there are currently, I think, 14 different bills in the legislature around the issue.
Well, at least they're not waiting like they did with the medicinal to let somebody outside that has no concept of detail, enforcement, any of that kind of stuff, put pen to paper and come up with something.
Exactly.
If, heaven forbid, we do that again, we're gonna be a worse spot than what Colorado is, rather than having the state assembly man up and do what they're supposed to do.
And legislate.
And put it in place.
The legislature is a poor barometer of the people's values, and the initiative process is a good barometer. It's a good way to just put the vote to the people. Say, ask them a values-based question.
Now, if they said yes or no,
legalized or not,
that'd be cool.
Yeah,
but don't give me the text.
Yeah, but the initiative process is a very poor way to craft legislation or to approve legislation because it has to be so complex. So that's why I'm really hopeful that with this mad rush to create something this year, that something will get through the legislature to create a regulatory program. So the only question left for the voters is, should we legalize it or not?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many phrases that can't be said in polite company that leap to my mind trying to describe this. Do you think there's any kind of a chance that the state assembly legislature is going to come up with something prior to the fall ballot or the June ballot in 16 that will say, here it is, now we don't need to do it that other way, we're going to take care of it and do it in a semi-logical, semi-independent thought process and structure something that is not only enforceable but clearly defined?
Well, first off, let me say thank you for suggesting that I'm polite company, but I've been told.
Well, I was looking at Damien at the moment, but that's okay.
But that is kind of the point of what I'm trying to suggest is that, you know, the legislative process is there for the purpose of being able to work out all of the kinds of details. It's going to be very complex. We're trying to create a regulatory program for this industry out of the blue. And we need to recognize that when you do that, you're going to fail. Your first shot is going to fail. You're going to find out in the first year all the things that you didn't get right. And you're going to need to go back the next year or 2 years down the road or whatever and make changes. And then you'll find out what doesn't work then, and you'll have to go back and do it again. You know, and that's why even industries that have been regulated for decades, you know, still find new rules coming into play. And if we don't do that, you know, if we leave that up to the voters to pass something, it makes it very, very difficult, if not impossible, to make changes.
Of course, I don't want to use OSHA and workers' comp as references on good law. Yipes. KINS News and Information Times 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:41. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, as you consider some of the different options that are out there, the initiative process, okay, it's worse than salami making. Yeah, it never seems to result in what anybody wants. The sheriff has been here. And Mike says the biggest challenge he has right now is trying to get a definition that the DOJ will recognize and that the state will recognize for 215. Okay, 19 years under our belt, we still can't figure out how to add 215. Well, now we put something else on top of that at the state level, not at the federal level, but at the state level. It just kind of seems like, you know, if we're topsy-turvy now we're going to put ourselves in a centrifuge and just do it a little bit faster and get a little dizzier and a little less uncertain. From your contacts at the state level, do you think that's going to be the play? Or do you think that there's going to be some recognition and there'll start to be common definition, clarity, an opportunity for law enforcement to know how to deal with this thing?
Well, if the voters legalize cannabis for recreational use in 2016,
you're really going in with this cannabis thing, aren't you? Instead of marijuana,
I'm having to force myself to.
All right. As long as it's an overthought, and
yeah. I mean, I'm told that we're not supposed to call it devil's weed anymore. I don't know why. So apparently that's a pejorative.
You know, you trendsetters, you just get us really confused. The back end of the bus.
If the voters legalize it for recreational purposes, depending on the specifics of the initiative that's put before the voters, it's unlikely that it's going to have anything to do with medical marijuana. Proposition 215 will almost certainly continue to stand. And so we'll have a two-tier kind of system where there will be medical marijuana and there will be recreational use.
Will 215 need to exist? Will you need to have a card? Buy it like beer or whatever.
There are a lot of people that are very into the focus on medical marijuana. You know, will tell you that there are a lot of things about the cannabinoids and other content, you know, besides the THC, the part that gets you high, that are where the medical uses come from. That provide certain kinds of pain relief for different things.
No question about it.
Yeah, and so they'll tell you that they are different products, and
so you just buy it from a different shelf in the store, right?
So you would think that that'd be possible, but again, the thing is that unless the initiative has language to specifically overturn 215, then that will still stand.
Or to envelop it.
Yeah, unless it unless it specifically overturns it or modifies it in some way, then we'll have a two-tier system, and that'll skew the market in some way, and we'll all have to work with that. But what you're saying, just the idea of if it's easier and cheaper for someone to just be able to go into a store and not have to flash their 215 card or their, show they have a doctor's recommendation and say, I just like this stuff and it's cheaper than
over 21. Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah. That'll have an impact on how these two markets play off of each other too. If the, regulations for recreational cannabis make it more expensive and more difficult to access, then probably a lot of people are going to continue to utilize 215 as a way to purchase stuff, whether or not we might agree that what they have is a true medical ailment or not. But that's going to depend upon the specifics of any initiative coming forward. But it does raise issues about, back to the taxation issue and the regulation issue. Right now, the legislature really can't. There's limitations to what they can do around regulating medical marijuana, but that doesn't prevent them from being able to do something.
It's tough because there's no document to reference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The language isn't there yet.
Yeah.
If
the legislature comes up with something, they can't right now do something to regulate recreational marijuana or cannabis because it doesn't exist yet in California. But if they come up with a regulatory program that suits medical marijuana and then lays out, and should the voters of the state of California choose to legalize for recreational purposes, then this section shall apply or that section shall apply.
It's like an if necessary asterisk.
Or the Department of Alcoholic Beverages Control shall have 2 years to come up with regulations on this however you say what the path is if that's done.
That's the question I was going to ask you, if the implementation and if it's an initiative, who knows what form of the train wreck it will be, but there's a limitation in the number of liquor licenses in each city, each mm-hmm. county, and throughout the state, which is why they're worth so much. And if a bar or a liquor store closes in Inyo, okay, that's now up for sale and it's a valuable asset, mm-hmm. and it can be purchased by somebody in Arcadia if they mm-hmm. want, or in Fortuna. I mean, it's an asset of that business, but it's a closed market. Do you sense that marijuana sales will be treated similarly to alcohol, that there will be a fixed number throughout the state of California, or do you think it's going to go the other way with tobacco and it's just going to be regulated and everybody can sell it as long as you pay attention and you mm-hmm. play by the rules?
That depends. The two leading initiative or bills right now that are in the legislature take different approaches. One parks control over licensing and such with the ABC. The other parks it with the Department of Consumer Affairs. And the reason for parking it with the Department of Consumer Affairs is, as I understand it, really stems from Los Angeles City and County, where they have real, real frustrations with the ABC because they feel like the ABC has not reined in liquor stores, and there are liquor stores on every corner, and so they don't want to see the same thing happen with dispensaries on every corner. So we have a struggle. The League of Cities, I believe, is supporting LA's position to go with the Department of Consumer Affairs, and what I'm hearing is the Department of Consumer Affairs is just woefully ill-equipped for taking on this task. It's not something that they've really done in the past. So that's one of the struggles that's working out, and we'll have to see which bill takes the lead.
How it plays. KINS, News and Information Time, 3:43. We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Time is 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, so when we get to the taxation, and you know, whether it's ABC or whether it's any other entity that LA County might want to have, sin tax is certainly something that California has firmly embraced. Marijuana would, I think, at least have to be treated to the same taxing levels as tobacco cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now there may be a viable discussion of saying, okay, the sin tax for alcohol is this, tobacco is this, we're going to add the two together because of the the mind-altering, like tobacco, or the alcohol, and then the health concerns like tobacco. I mean, okay, fine. I mean, that you could argue that. You could argue one. You could argue the other. Has there been any situation, any discussions, any scenarios played out either by the State Board of Equalization or some of the special interest groups saying yes, yes, no, no to some of these various options?
The Board of Equalization, Fiona Ma of the Board of Equalization and Senator George Runner were up here just this past week doing a tour with a bunch of staff and other folks. Of some cannabis farms, of some dispensary type or grow facilities of different kinds, and to do a fact-finding tour about this industry because taxation and revenue has been one of the big selling points for folks that have been talking about legalization. In 2010, the Prop 19, which was the Tax Regulate and Control Cannabis Act of 2010, which by the way would have done none of those things. But that was one of the things that they talked about. And at that time, the Board of Equalization said, well, then we should study this issue and figure out what the revenue potential is to the state. And they did a really, really great study. It was based on limited information, limited, we didn't have a lot of data on the size of the industry and things of that sort. But it really went through the thought process of, what do we know of this industry so far? If it's legalized, what do we expect in terms of, the impact on usage? Will it go up? Will there be an initial bump when experimentation goes up, and then that'll taper off? And then when you add in the cost of regulation, the price goes up, and so usage comes down a little bit. You add in taxation, the price goes up more, and usage comes down. And where's the sweet spot for that if you want to maximize revenue for the state? And it was, the thought process was very interesting, even if the end result was based on some pretty broad assumptions. So the BOE is redoing that study this year to try to really have a good information base on this. But the focus for us has to be around an excise tax, because a sales tax at end point of use, the vast majority of the product grown in Humboldt County is going to be sold someplace else. And so with a sales tax, we're not going to see any of it to deal with all of the impacts that we have as a county of origin. An excise tax could be either a statewide tax or a local tax, where, whether it's a percentage base or a per dollar or a per pound type base, something like that.
Business license fees being set at a separate tier
fees,
for this?
Fees can't be used to generate revenue. Fees of
Fair
whatever
enough.
Kind can
okay.
only be used to cover the cost of, providing that service.
Then that becomes a whole game all by
Being
itself,
Being regulated
doesn't it?
Is a service in that way. So
congratulations. Thanks for coming by. We've been Talking Shop with Mark Lovelace. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love, and I'll see you tomorrow.